Praise God. How do you like that? That's nice, isn't it? Let me see if we can focus that.
Oh, I thought that was me.
No, it's not. It's not you.
Oh, that's good. Very good.
Now watch the magic.
Oh, watch the magic. It's the magic of the Lord.
Gotta turn it on. Isn't power something great?
His power is.
His power, yeah, his power. Very good. So, I'm not lying.
Thank you for clarifying that.
The Lord of Bob.
This is the only power that counts.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
You're going to go to hell too. You like that?
Ooh.
Maybe. I'm not sure if I like that.
Feels like I've been there once.
Yeah. Or just felt like I was there. I wasn't there, Luke.
That's like right.
Gosh, that's clear, isn't it?
Really clear.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yes, that's good.
It's clear.
Okay, now we want to go backwards. Put that. And go down here.
Just put one light on me.
Yeah, it's not. I don't
feel. Is that good?
Probably it's better.
Sure.
Yeah, it's probably
he'd
better.
He'd be able to see his reading now.
Bill Hill's be able to see that.
From his Bible,
don't know. He's a bat.
All right. Can you see that? Can you see that, Craig? If you can't, come forward.
Can you read? Can you see?
I can see.
Okay.
Praise God. Do you open your Bibles with me to Proverbs?
You want a light on overhead?
Well, I don't need it.
There you go.
Proverbs chapter 9.
Praise God.
And let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us, Lord God. All who call upon your name, Father, you have made righteous in your sight. Father, you have made us a royal priesthood.
Yes.
And you have set us apart to be a witness to the nations, Lord. And Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that you sit in the heavens and do whatever you please. And it's your desire, Father, to bless us, to pour out your inheritance upon us, Lord God, that one day we might be with you for eternity. We thank you, Lord, for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right, amen. For sure.
How many of you have ever heard a sermon where the pastor got up and said you could all go to hell? Probably didn't. How many of you ever heard a sermon on hell? Man, imagine that. Raise your hand if you have. I never have. This has been interesting for me. How many of you ever heard a sermon on the fear of God? You know, in our world today, we tend to not emphasize the totalness of God. We like to think of God as a nice, loving, meek, humble individual who just couldn't harm anything. You know, he wouldn't swat a fly. But if we truly read Scripture, you may find that our God has some other characteristics. One of his characteristics is something called justice. You know what justice is? Let me give you an example. Every law that God has and every law that man has consists of two parts. The first part tells you what you should do or should not do. And the second part tells you what's going to happen to you if you do or don't. In other words, you go through a stop sign, you aren't supposed to go through the stop sign. You get caught, you're going to pay for it. Jesus said, and God said in Genesis, way in the beginning, if you sin, you shall surely die. He wasn't talking about just dying in your flesh. He was talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God.
That's right.
It's fearful. Think of a place of total hopelessness. As I was preparing this sermon and putting this stuff together, I never quite thought of it, but I got a lot of this information from David V. Hoost. I've done a lot of teaching in my life, and I read Ecclesiastes numerous times, and there's really nothing new under the sun, so you don't really have to go out and invent everything every time. The reason I'm using a PowerPoint is when I taught most of my life, you probably wouldn't know this, most of you, but my wife does, and I think Benita would understand. I've made my money with my mouth. And when you do that, when you're talking to people, the more senses you can use to get your point across, the better they will understand it, and the better they will remember it. So if I had a little device here where I could just, you know, shock individual chairs, you know, I could really implant some knowledge, right? Anyway, going through this, one of the things that really struck me, and we're going to see it here in a minute, do you know that there are no atheists in hell? Think of that. Okay, let's look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Go to chapter 10, verse 27. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Go to Ecclesiastes. I believe that's the next book. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It's the end of that book. If you haven't read Ecclesiastes lately, I would recommend that you read it a couple times. It just tells you how worthless your entire life is. Okay, chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes and verse 13. After Solomon gets through telling you how meaningless everything is, he comes to this conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Think of it. What is fear? You know, I was afraid of my daddy when I was young. Probably more afraid of my mommy, because she took that switch a lot better than my daddy did, and more often. And that was a true fear. But I became wise. You know how I became wise? I started doing what they told me to do.
Imagine that.
It works very similarly with God. Don't think for a minute and you can get away with anything. You think your mother had eyes behind her head. God is wherever you go, and He sees everything. He knows what you're thinking before you think it.
Amen. Amen.
You can't get away with anything. And that song we sang this morning, I put it up there somewhere, I forgot. But it talks about Jesus dying. It talks about them calling Him a fraud. It talks about His death upon the cross. What was that all about? Did He just want to make a name for Himself, get in a book? Why did He do it? Anybody tell me why He did it?
He loved us.
Oh, He just died because He loved you. Well, I could die because I love you. What would that accomplish? I'd be dead and you'd be loved. Why did He die on that cross? What was the reason?
For our sins.
For our sins? Not really. Remember, there's two parts to every law. There's what you can do and what you can't do, and then what's going to happen to you if you do or don't. He took care of all that would happen to you if you did do it. He paid the penalty for your sin. The penalty. And what is the penalty? What's the penalty? Separation from Him for eternity.
That's right.
We don't like to hear this, but this is what's in the Word of God. People don't preach that today because Joel Osteen wouldn't get a full crowd. But this is where it starts. Why does Ecclesiastes say the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments? Who calls the shots? God calls the shots. I remember years ago, I'm sitting in front of the TV set watching some political campaign or whatever. No, it wasn't a political campaign. I was watching little children starving to death in Ethiopia with flies and maggots crawling all over them. And I got angry with God. This was years ago. And I remember saying, God, how can you do this? And he led me to Psalm 115, verse 3, which says, our God sits in the heavens and does whatever he pleases. And not too long after that, I saw that bumper sticker. It says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Mm-hmm. And God said to me, you just put an X right through that I believe it stuff. I said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not, makes no difference. We have to understand who God is.
Amen.
This is not an easy sermon, believe me. I spent a lot of time, even though I didn't plagiarize, I gave the guy credit. But then I went ahead and changed a whole lot of things here. This should work. Oh, you got to put it on first, okay? How come it's not working? What happened? Oh, come on! That ain't good.
Hit F5 on top.
Huh?
Make it big, and then hit F5. It'll give you full screen.
No, I don't know. I never had this happen before. How do you like that?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Click on
this right there.
There
you go. Okay. Now, if I hit this, yesterday it worked. Okay, I wanted to put for mature audiences only, but I didn't think that would work. I was going to say for only those who are in Christ Jesus, and I didn't think that would work. Because the message is for everyone.
Amen.
All right, so warning, this sermon contains truths that may be disturbing. We believe, and I hope you believe, I believe, that the Scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. I believe this is the Word of God. Yeah. I had a Presbyterian minister sit in my living room one day and say to me, this isn't the Word of God, it contains the Word of God. So I shoved it in his face and I said, you tell me which ones are God's words. Because the only ones you're going to pick out is what you like. This is the Word of God. And we have to start from that. So I'm asking you this morning, please don't throw things at me. I don't have a shield up here, right? I'm bringing the message. I'm not apologizing for it.
Praise God.
Fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it is evil. There is nothing that He does not know. And we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I did you all a favor this morning, because on the left side of this, over here, the gentleman who prepared the master slide, and I've made a lot of changes in this, but he had a picture of a grotesque looking guy with blood flowing out of his face like he was under total torment continuously, and that was continuously on this, so I took it away to make you feel a little better. One good reason to fear God. You could all go to hell if not for the blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's why Jesus died on that cross, to pay the penalty. And you say He died for our sins. Yeah, but I thought about that a lot. I said, yeah, that's kind of true, but He really died because He had to pay the penalty. God is just. Somebody had to pay the fine. Somebody had to pick up the tab.
Yeah.
And that was Jesus. And He picked it up totally.
Thank you.
And He gives it to you absolutely free. He says, here it is. For you're saved by what? Grace.
Yes.
Through faith. And He gives you that too, by the way.
Yes, that's right.
Thank God. You can do that with PowerPoint for emphasis. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. There is not one who hasn't sinned. So how many should go to hell? Everyone. If not for the blood of Christ. Now, either this is true or it isn't. It's kind of frightening. We don't like to think of God that way. I mean, he wouldn't do that, would he? My daddy wouldn't spank me, would he, if I was doing something that ultimately would cause my destruction? Would he? Yeah, he did. I spanked my son too, and I remember one day my son came back to me. He was out of high school. And he came to me and said, "Dad, I want to thank you for spanking me." And I said, "Why?" He says, "Because you taught me some things I needed to know, and I thank you for it." Can you imagine? God disciplines and chastises those whom he loves. Why? Because he loves you.
That's right.
He don't want you to go to hell. But somehow our free will enters into this. I don't know how it works. If you're a Calvinist, you think you've been elected. Right? If you're Arminian or whatever that is, you think it's all up to you. Well, I got news for you. It's God really knows it all anyway. And I don't concern myself with any of that stuff because I got to tell you, I know right now, today, that if I die, I'm going to be with him.
Amen.
And if you don't know that, don't leave here today without knowing it.
That's right. Amen.
That is such a blessing. You can be anywhere. Our brother talked this morning about love, and he was saying, you know, if you really got the Spirit of God within you and you're going through some bad times, more or less, you can still be joyful.
Amen.
Amen.
What can the world do to you?
Nothing.
Kill you? Praise God, I'm on the way. I've already made it to, you know, 70. I'm just waiting now.
Right.
Praise the Lord. He died that you may live.
Jesus.
And I tried to emphasize that by... I knew this was going to happen. You know, I knew that was going to happen. You know that, don't you? Now, if you hit this thing here... Why did this happen? They don't want me to do this thing. Okay, don't get excited.
We're not.
You always have to be prepared.
Back up.
Just in case. Holy Spirit woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Bing batteries."
Batteries again.
So I brought batteries.
How many of you brought batteries this morning to church?
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual battery.
Yes, I slept all night.
You slept all night. Okay, now if I hit this, that comes off. I love this technology. Isn't it great? Can you imagine when all this goes down the tubes? Okay. That goes in there. This goes on here. And...
Hey.
He died that you may have life.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed the picture of that horrible person over here. He was born, he died on the cross, he was resurrected, and he's at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
And he will judge the world. There's the gospel.
That's right.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth should not perish. What does he mean by perish? He doesn't mean annihilation. He means eternal suffering and torment in hell.
In hell, that's right.
But have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. These are the rules. You don't believe? You know, I have a hard time with it too. I ask myself all the time, what about the guy in the Amazon? You know what God tells me? Don't worry about the guy in the Amazon. I'm taking care of him.
That's right.
You know! You know, I had a pastor that used to preach, and after every sermon he'd say, "Now you've heard it, you are responsible. You are without excuse. If you don't hear this sermon tomorrow, today and you walk out, he'd say, God would never do that. I just hope you don't end up in that place where you find out he does."
Amen.
Hell. God is love. So how could he send anyone to a place of everlasting torment?
He doesn't.
God is also just. There is no fear of God in the world today. And these shall go away into... Jesus said this, by the way. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Christ clearly taught there is either eternal life or eternal punishment awaiting everyone. Most people have put the thought of eternal punishment and hell out of their mind. It's uncomfortable. I mean, God is love. Everybody's going to go to heaven. I just found out the other day, and believe me, I'm not against any particular denomination or something. I mean, we all have some weird things. But the Seventh-day Adventists believe at that great white throne judgment, right, when the devil and his angels and all those who have sinned against God are thrown into that pit of fire of damnation, that they get annihilated. Guess what? There's nothing I can find in the scripture that says you get annihilated. It talks about eternal damnation. Continuous. Forever and ever and ever and ever. And it doesn't stop. And I'm still trying to picture flames with no light because it's a place of eternal darkness. Picture that one. I wanted to come in this morning with some sulfur-smelling incense, but I didn't. Did I go too fast? Maybe I did. Yeah, that last one came up. As Paul wrote in Romans 3:18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Are we or are we not living in a world today where this is really true? You know, to me, when I hear the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, what it really means to me is, it's like, wake up! He's in control whether you like it or not. It isn't a matter of being a scared. My son-in-law uses that word, I like that. Okay, it's not a matter of that kind of fear. But it's a fear of who He is, an understanding of who God is. Our brother just said He doesn't send you there. Brother, I want to ask you, who is the judge?
Oh, He's the judge.
And who passes the sentence?
Oh, He does.
So who sends you there? You make the choices, he judges it, and he sends you there.
He sends you there, but you send yourself there.
Well, you've committed the crime, and you haven't asked for repentance, and you haven't repented.
There you go. No, He's definitely the judge.
But He's the one who's the judge. We don't like to think that. You know, God couldn't do that, could He? Do you think any of you have ever suffered in your life because God allowed it?
Absolutely.
I know I have. And boy, has He wakened me up on numerous occasions. Brothers and sisters, don't try to outguess God. Trust in Him with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight.
That's right. Righteous.
Don't try to outdo, oh, He'd never do this, He'd never do that. Check this out first.
Amen.
Action center. I don't think I need that right now. How to explain a place man has never seen? Although the world and many preachers may be silent on the subject, the Bible is not. The Bible often speaks of hell. Many times in the Old Testament, 23 times in the New Testament, it uses the word Hades, which is a place of the unseen, a different place, often confused with hell. Gehenna, which is hellfire, and Tartaros, which means torment, used in reference to pits of darkness in Hades. And Jesus even used these words. Did Jesus refer to hell? I put some of these references up here. I like to Google a lot. I found some information on that website, so there's the reference there. But Christ is often spoken of as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But that label hardly fits with the language we find in Mark chapter 9 as He affirms the fact and reality of hell. We read these strong statements. Jesus said this. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Now you can go into all kinds of symbolism, brothers and sisters, if you want to, but for me, this is what it says. The fire isn't quenched and the worm's still working. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Jesus said this. Oh, but he couldn't do that, could he? Yeah, he did. What happened there?
He hit on close.
Oh, I did? We weren't supposed to do that. My goodness. I practiced this yesterday, too honest.
We even came over here.
Huh?
I said we even came over here.
I know it. Well, this is, God wanted you to review this.
God wanted us to review this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Wanted you to see this one more time. That's why the computer didn't work.
Fine job.
Praise God. We're moving right along though. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we made it there. Here we go. Is hell a reality? Many in today's world deny that hell is a real place. Even among those who claim to be religious, many deny that hell exists. I think Pastor got up not too long ago and mentioned somebody's name that just, they've written a big book or something. Now they're getting a big crowd in their church and they're teaching there. There really is no hell. I mean, if you're Catholic, for example, and I was brought up as one, I even went to cemetery for a little while. Right? And if you were brought up that way, Jesus didn't die enough for your sins. He didn't pay the penalty totally. They got this place called purgatory. So if you mess up with just a venial sin versus a mortal sin, you can go just burn a little while and then you can get out. I can't find that anywhere. How big is a big lie and how small is a little lie and what will God judge you with? Somehow I think God, you know, He made the penalty. He didn't say, you know, for little sins we're going to do this, for bigger sins we're going to do that, and we'll get you a group of attorneys or something. You only got one attorney when you leave here, and that's Jesus Christ. He's your advocate. If he doesn't say, Father, he's mine, watch out. Some contend that a righteous person dies, he goes to heaven, but when a wicked person dies, he's annihilated. Seventh-day Adventists teach that. So that's kind of a way out. You know, it's not quite as bad as eternal torment, right? In John 5, 29, 28, 29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I mean, you can't play games with these words. They're really here. Now, for many of you here, and I think I hope all of you, you're saying, well, you know, I know Jesus, I'm saved, I have the blood of Christ has washed me clean, I have righteous garments on because he put them on me, right? But what about all those people out there who don't know about this?
Yeah.
You know, what if they heard about some of this stuff? You know, I always say to people, what if the Bible's true? Because you are going to die. Don't fool yourself. I don't care what herbs you take. Sooner or later, you're out of here. I save a lot of money on herbs. I just refuse to take them. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. I had to put that one in here. This is from the scripture. Go look it up. It's Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations. What's going on in our world today? You think there's any nations that might have turned away from God?
Whoa. It's
now, I don't know how that works. It's not everybody in the nation. But you know, I get the feeling. Don't know this for sure. But it's like there are a lot more people going into hell than there are going to heaven. The road is wide. And then there's a narrow one. I don't know. And yes, they choose. You know, we are without excuse, especially us. who have the Word of God, who have been taught. And I keep coming back to the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Why is it so great to fear God? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't sin because I say to myself, oh boy, what would Daddy do? It makes me think twice.
That's my point.
My mommy used to say to me, Bobby, when you get out of here and go out and do things and I'm not with you and you don't know whether it's right or wrong, you just ask yourself if you'd do it if I was standing there. It worked, and I actually thought that way.
Right.
And later in life, I thought the way of Christ. What God is right there. I can't get away with anything.
That's right.
And when you think that it's only by the... Have you ever read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? If you haven't, read it. Jonathan Edwards' sermon. And he couldn't talk very well. He just spoke it in a monotone, and everybody fell on their knees and started weeping and crying out to God. But for the mercy and grace of God, all of you could be in hell now because we've all sinned. And what if you died at that moment? And you didn't have the chance for forgiveness? It's like hanging over the pits of hell with a spider web. And the flames are slapping at it. And all it has to do is hit it and you're gone. And you say, well, God wouldn't allow that. How do you think this? You ever read about Booth, the guy who started the Salvation Army? He had that vision of souls just going into hell. And all he had to do was reach out and grab them. That's our responsibility, brothers and sisters. Out there today, there are millions going straight to hell. And there are people like Mahatma Gandhi, who I think was a peaceful man, etc. I don't know all about him. But you know what he said that really hit me? I might have been a Christian had I never met any. I might have been a Christian had I never met any. What is your witness? What is my witness? What is the witness that we see in our TV sets today, even from Christians, quote unquote? And the world looks at it and says, I don't think I need that. You know, Buddha's better. Hallelujah. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel, that's way back in the Old Testament. Why? And she already told me she wasn't leaving because I would upset her, she says. And I say unto you, my friends, Luke 12, 4 and 5, be not afraid. Who said this?
Jesus.
Got red letters in it if you go to the right Bible.
That's right.
And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And again, once you understand who God is, and because of our sinful nature, I think it's necessary to get that fear of God within you. But then you realize how much he loves you. And your fear begins to go away, and you begin to respect him and to love him and to follow him and to obey him. It's just like a kid growing up. You know, I thought I loved my daddy. I wasn't really sure. But you know what I wanted from my daddy when I was little? Everything I could get. And if he didn't give it to me, I'd yell and scream and stamp up and down and until I found out if you did that, you daddy corrected you. And then I began to realize as I grew older that everything daddy and mommy did pretty much in my life was because they loved me.
Yeah.
And as I grew in Christ, I found out the same thing. All those times that, you know, he allowed us to be in places of suffering and torment sometimes. But then one day you wake up and he says, I did this or allowed this because of that. I don't know how it works. You know, I think of Satan as a puppet on a string. God does with him whatever he wants. Satan can't go around doing anything he wants to do. I feel really good when I look at Job and he had to go get God's permission to go get the guy. You know what that says to me? If you are in Christ Jesus, Satan can't touch you unless God allows it. But you know, there's words in here. I remember going to a pastor once and saying, you know, one of the worst scriptures in the Bible, I can't find it right now, it's in Deuteronomy. But God looks at Israel, so to speak, and says, once you were my people, you are no longer my people. Can you imagine? You were my son, you were my daughter, but you are no longer part of my household. Can you imagine if God truly gave up on you? Do you think the Bible even speaks of that? Yes, it does. It talks about being grafted onto the vine and the vine being pruned, being grafted on. He says, but don't get, you know, too proud about this, because just as you were grafted on and just as those were cut off, you can get cut off. Hell is real. If you deny hell, you deny the very words of our Lord. God's words lends no support to the disbelievers who are in hell. Is hell a reality? The answer is obvious, which leads us to the next question. What is hell like? The biblical writers not only picture the beauty of heaven, they also picture the horror of hell. How do you describe a place to a man where he's never been? You use concepts that he knows to help him picture what's there. Let me tell you what it's like. It's often described as a place of fire, lake of fire, a furnace of fire, everlasting fire, flaming fire, unquenchable fire, hellfire, fire, eternal fire, fire and brimstone, lake of fire burning with brimstone. These are all in the scriptures. You think they're symbolic? I don't think so. I don't understand it. But when you think of the justice of God, when you read the old, you know, God, what does he say about himself? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You read the Old Testament, and he say, look at the, I mean, God wouldn't say that, would he? Israel, I want you to go wipe out that entire city. Man, woman, child, dog, pig, horse, and everything else. God wouldn't say that, would he? Well, he did. We're in a new covenant now. And I firmly believe that before God shows his wrath totally upon this planet again, he's going to take us out of here. I believe we're not going to suffer that wrath of God. But when you start reading Revelation and you look at all those seals being opened and all the other things that are happening, you thank God that you're not here, because it's God who's doing these things. Or at least allowing it to be done. And you know why he's doing it? Why is he doing it? You say, well, it's just to punish them. If you look into it carefully, he wants them to seek his forgiveness. But you know what they're doing? They're cursing him. I remember a man, I might have mentioned this to some of you at one time too. Years ago, I went to a full gospel businessmen's meeting where my mother and my aunt went forward and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior at this meeting. And this man had been in the Canary Islands when there was a 747 taking off, and there was another one coming in at the same time. And somehow the controllers didn't get this right, so the one coming in took off the top of the one trying to take off. And he was in the one that top came off, and the inside blew into flames. And he said, there's hundreds of people in this plane. And he said, you know, most of them were cursing God as they died. And he was there, and he kept saying, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll make sure I tell everybody. And that's what he was doing with his life. He was going around telling people. You know, sometimes God allows us, you know, you know what my prayer was for my son? He used to call me up and say, don't pray for me anymore, Dad. My prayer was a simple prayer. God, you do with William whatever you need to do to bring him to you. And I used to call him up and I'd say, that's what I'm praying, son. And you know what? You're going to come along screaming and kicking, or you're going to come along saying, yes, sir, but it's your choice. And I praise God today he's come along. He knows Jesus is his Lord and Savior. But he went through hell on earth. He's been to Iraq, Iran twice, got PTSD, takes pills now so he won't blow his head off. But he knows the Lord, and the Lord is watching over him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, come on. Why don't you want to go somewhere? What did I do now? This worked so great yesterday. Maybe I'm in the wrong. I was actually sitting back there doing this.
Okay.
How come I don't like this thing? You think there's something going on here that shouldn't be? I think so.
Well, come on.
Talk to God. Right? It's pretty obvious.
Lord, we just ask you in the name of Jesus.
It just knows I need to write down a scripture.
Was well, that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay,
let's it's review again.
Huh? No, it's more than review. I don't know what's going on here. Yesterday I sat here, I sat way back where he is, and pushed this thing and it all worked.
So most of that of it needs to be on something. Like some...
No, I can do this. I can make that move, but I can't make the thing go forward now. Oh, here we go. Hell is also described as a place of torment. In Luke 16:23, and in hell they he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted. And thou art torment, a place of torment. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark in his name. You know, you can't play games with these words. You can try to make people feel better and say, well, what he really meant was. Well, it's pretty obvious to me. You don't have to play with it. It's a place of darkness. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into an outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. A place of separation. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Who has God given the responsibility to let the world know? We are it, brothers and sisters. There is no other. No one else. Only the believers in Christ. You know, I used to look at the poor people at Hankins and say, will you stop having your pity parties? You know Jesus, the world can't touch you. You got eternal life. Serve Him. How many people come to church saying, God's going to do this for me, God's going to do that for me, God's going to... You know what God's going to do for you? Whatever He needs to do to get your attention and to bring you to that place of eternal salvation.
Amen.
And being hard-headed like some of us are, we might have to go through more than others. A place of separation. Hell will be horrible as God is not there. That is horrific. But what is not? That's not the only separation. You will be separated for eternity from all who were followers of Christ. All those you loved on this earth who followed Christ. No outs. Now again, I don't know why I'm preaching this sermon. You don't know. I didn't sleep last night. I've been working on this for 2 days. I don't need any credit for that. But it's hard. But the Lord keeps saying to me, tell my people that they might tell the world. And you got two choices. There's no others. You either walk with the Lord and have salvation through the blood of Christ, or you get condemned for eternity. I don't know how it works. You know, I question God every day. What about the guy in the Amazon? He says, don't worry about the guy in the Amazon. I'll take care of him. Unless I send you to the Amazon. He hasn't done that yet. God is God. We know he's just. We know he's merciful. We know he's loving. We know that he will not throw anyone into hell unless he... I mean, he isn't like a jury on earth that says, well, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. God knows exactly, without question, where you are, what you think, how you thought, and I mean, you can tell the whole world you're a Christian and still die and go to hell because he knows exactly what you are.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, here we go again. Hallelujah. So I'm glad we did that. Well, let's try this. Did I do anything? Hell is described as a place where the worm dieth not. And when you think of a worm, what do you think of? I think of maggots, things like this. Right? I mean, why would he say this? Why would he even use the word worm? The word. I can't put symbolism into this. Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Golly. Place of outer darkness. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Place of weeping. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so we're trying to emphasize that, I guess. And who will be in hell? The Bible names a great host who will be there. That's for emphasis. The devil and his angels. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. The wicked in nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Those who obey not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Those not written in the book of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You can't play games with it. I mean, it's so clear to me. The unprofitable servant who wasted his talent, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sinners of all kinds, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These unbelievers were unbelievers in life, not in death. There are no atheists in hell.
That's right.
Not just a few of the worst people to ever live. Many people today who do believe in hell feel that only a few of the most terrible people will be in hell. I mean, we know there are some people who really deserve to be there, right? You might be surprised when you get to heaven, they might be there. However, the Bible teaches that the majority of people will be lost. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few will be there. It's a horrible thought.
Yeah.
Some ask another question. Surely an all-loving God would not send anyone to hell, right? Wrong. That's for emphasis. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. The goodness and severity of God. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Revelations 20:13-15, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, if you weren't a believer and you just told people this stuff, and you were not a believer and they heard this, and then you just said, you know what, you are going to die. What if it's true? Anybody in his right mind might even begin to say, well, maybe I'll look into this. You know?
That's right.
Some facts. And these shall go away into eternal, everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, here we go yet. I don't know why I did this. We're almost done, too. Hallelujah. Must be a reason, right? Okay. Sadly, the majority of people are going to be lost and not saved. Our Lord plainly taught that the righteous would be rewarded and the wicked would be punished. He taught that either heaven or hell would be our eternal home. We must choose where we will be in eternity. It has been said, God votes for you, the devil votes against you, and you hold a deciding vote. Kind of makes some sense. And here we go again. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we got that. What's that menu down there? I don't want that. Okay, here. Obey the gospel and remain faithful, and heaven is yours. Do neither, and hell is yours. If you died today, do you know for sure where you would go? If you don't, brothers and sisters, does anybody here today that doesn't know, absolutely sure, stick around afterward, we'll pray and we'll talk about it. Because once you know this, you can go out and you will have the freedom to do what God's called you to do. But if you go around all the time wondering about, oh, poor me, I don't know what's going to happen, a whole bunch of people are going to go to hell because you're not spending time bringing the gospel to them. Sounds stupid maybe, but it isn't. There is freedom in knowing you have eternal life.
Amen.
Totally set free.
Right.
Death, where is thy sting? It's gone. Who cares? You know, I think almost there might be a few nights. Huh, Gloria? Not too many, though. We lie in bed and I grab my wife's hand. I say, honey, tonight could be the night. Let's just agree and we'll be out of here. And she keeps saying God has more for us. So I say, okay. I'm not suicidal or anything, but I'll be happy to go.
Yes.
Right? I want people to have a celebration when I leave here. I tell people there's going to be a couple kinds of people in the world when I leave. Those that are glad I'm gone. And those are glad I got there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man... You can work yourself to the bone and bloody, and you're never going to stand before God and say, let me tell you what I did for you. You can't extort God. You know what He wants from you? How much does He want from you? Everything. Everything. And if you cease to exist, there's nothing going to be taken from Him. He is complete, and He will always be complete. When Adam and Eve sinned, He could have gone, let's start over.
Yeah.
If He wanted to.
Yes. Right.
And why did Jesus die on the cross? To pay the entire penalty that justice requires. And then He said, here it is, you can have it. Just follow me. And He loves you. He loves you so much. You didn't have to come here and die on that cross. And you know, we so often think that when Jesus died on the cross, and He said, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was all upset about the wounds in His hands and His feet and the spear in His side. No. What happened on that cross? Every sin of the entire world, of everybody from Adam and Eve until the end, was poured down upon Him. And I don't understand it, but it was like there was a separation at that moment between Jesus and the Father.
Amen.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
That's right.
And then he said, it's finished. What do you mean it's finished? It's like saying, Daddy, thank you. Everyone who wants to have eternal life can now have it for nothing. I like to talk about blessed assurance. And in contrast it with blessed insurance. You know, insurance you got to pay for. If you miss the premium, you lose the coverage. With blessed assurance, you can't. You don't have to pay for it. It's absolutely free. It continues forever.
Amen.
It's all yours. And you know what? You can even mess up. But don't waddle in it. When you mess up and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, Father, forgive me. And as far as the east is from the west, it's gone. He remembers it no more. Now, he doesn't have a bad memory, but he's not going to come to you every day and tell you, remind you what you did yesterday. If you get those kind of reminders, they're from Satan, not from God.
That's right.
And rebuke him in the name of Jesus. He knows where... He knows... You know, I get a kind of a kick out of this because many theologians talk about, you know, Jesus came to earth and he became a man so he would understand man. Well, somehow that doesn't fit in my head. I mean, God knows all things. He didn't have to become a man to understand man. I think he really knows. He created us. He knows us inside out. He came for one reason and one reason alone, to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin that we might have eternal life. Because he loved us so much. And I don't think we, you know, one day, you were talking about it, weren't you? You know, we'll get to God one day and say, you know, all these questions you got, why this and why that?
Yeah.
One day we're going to see him, we're going to know exactly why.
That's right.
We're going to know what his love is beyond anything you can imagine. It's just... You know, what he has in store for those who love him, the Bible says that we don't have words to describe it. And brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, know this for a fact, that you have nothing to fear, nothing whatsoever.
Thank you.
If we have a depression, if you don't have food, if the house falls in on you, if you get hit by a satellite, that could happen, you know, that just came down yesterday. Don't worry. Nothing to fear.
Yes.
When you die, you're going to be with him.
Amen.
Live your life now. And if you want joy and peace, if you want the fruit of the Spirit, trust in God with all of your heart. Start doing what he's called you to do, which is be his witnesses and to obey him. You don't have to go look for things. He will put them right in your face. You know, so many of us say, well, let me put a plan together. He's already got the plan. Right after it says you're saved by grace through faith, not by works, what does he say? For you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he determined beforehand that you should walk in. So your job now is to find out what the good works is. Daddy, what is it you want me to do? Not to sit around and say, I think I'll do this, I'll do that, and I'll do that. You could feed all the orphanages, take care of all the poor people in the world and all kinds of other things, stand before God and say, let me tell you, I cast out demons in your name and I did all these things, and he might just look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's a sad one too, isn't it?
That's right.
You only have to do what he's called you to do.
That's right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a big deal. Believe. Believing is a choice.
That's right.
I don't know how many times I've said to God, well, some people just can't believe. He said, oh yeah, they can. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if somebody came in and offered you $100 to wash their car, would you believe him? I said, probably not. He said, well, somebody else believed him, went out, washed the car, and got the $100. All right, now the guy comes in again and says, I'll give you $100 to wash my car. Would you go out? He said, absolutely right, I'd go out. He said, see? So read my words, see what I've told you, and do what I called you to do, and I will do what I said I would do. And you'll see it. And your faith will grow. It's not so hard.
Amen.
If he says it, he'll do it. You know, we got these people out there that, I guess they're called, what are they called? I don't know what they're called. They're probably called something. I know they're called something. Those that figure Israel is all lost now. Right? There's a whole group of Christians who believe that Israel are no longer the chosen people and that God is done with them, and I forget what they call it, but they got a philosophy for that, or whatever. A theology, whatever it is. You know, if God made a promise, he's going to keep the promise.
That's right.
If he made a covenant, he's going to keep the covenant.
That's right. Amen.
And you can break it all you want, but he's still going to keep it.
That's right.
You know, I tell people all the time, the difference between an agreement and a covenant. An agreement says, I'll do this and this and this and this, and you do this and this and this and this, but if you don't do this, I don't have to do this. That's an agreement. A covenant says, I'll do all these things, I expect you'll do all these things, but if you don't do any of these things, I'll still do all these things. It's like marriage. It isn't an agreement. It's a covenant for life.
Yeah. Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Can't say I'm divorcing her because she don't cook well. You told me you cooked really good, you don't cook well. It won't work. And Alzheimer's is not an excuse for divorce. I don't care what they say. You do know that somebody said that recently.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel. Now watch this for emphasis. The good news. That's what gospel means. Here's the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's it. That's the gospel. And what do you have to do to be saved? Believe. Choose to believe. I don't know how many people I've said in my lifetime that have said, I don't think there's any God. And I've challenged them. Well, why don't you ask them? And you know, there's been a few that come back to me and said, I asked him and he's revealed himself to me.
That's right.
You know, many people, I'm a scientist, if you will. I got a PhD in medical biochemistry that doesn't qualify me at all to be here. Right? And I discovered the more you know, the less you really know. The more you find out that you don't know. Right? But how anybody can look at life or look at creation and say it happened out of a big bang, that is totally ludicrous. I sat in the doctor's office with my wife the other day. She was having an eye exam, and I'm looking at the chart on the wall of the human eye.
That's
man, oh man, come on.
That's right.
That's like saying if I threw the alphabet up in the air enough times, I'd get a Shakespearean play written.
Yeah,
it ain't going to happen. There is a God.
Amen.
And he has proven that he loves us. He has given us his word. He has filled us with his spirit. The spirit of God within you will reveal to you the truth. Not religion, not others in the world, but the spirit of God. He wants us to assemble together for what reason? To encourage one another, to lift one another up, to pray for one another, that we might go forth and be his witnesses.
Amen.
And then you will know his joy. And it's not the happiness that Satan wants to give you. You can have all the stuff in the world, and when you die, you're going to leave all the stuff. But if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you can smile in the middle. You know, I often think of, is it Paul and Silas? They're in prison. And I picture them all, you know, chained up. The water's coming down on the walls and there's mold on it. There's rats running around. There's people moaning and groaning. And what are these idiots doing? They're singing praises to God and witnessing. They got to be crazy, right? They had the joy of the Lord. They know, what can the world do? I'll die here and I'll go be with the Lord. You want to be free? Believe. Don't try to work out your own salvation. You know, we all have to work it out with fear and trembling, but that concept means understand who God is and do what he's called you to do. And you don't have to worry about messing up. Because he said, every time you mess up, I will forgive you if you ask for it. And I don't know about you. In my life, I've gone through these, you know, plateau type things. I'm moving on with God, and then I meet this place where I messed up. So I start having my pity party. And sometimes the pity parties last a long time. Well, I've discovered the quicker I ask forgiveness, the quicker the pity party stops, and I keep moving on.
Amen.
Well, you can sit there all day and have your pity party if you want. But you can't lose. If you know Christ, you can't lose.
That's right.
Father, we just thank you again today for the righteousness of Christ, for his blood that was shed, Lord God, that we might have eternal life. And Father, help us to understand that it's totally free. All we have to do is believe. We don't have to come up with some theology. We don't have to write books. We just need to believe, and you will send your Spirit to dwell within us, Lord God. And your Spirit will reveal to us your truth. Father, we thank you. And Father, I ask for everyone here that they would leave here today and say, boy, am I glad I know Jesus. And then they would be totally set free today, Lord. That no matter what happens in this world, no matter the disasters or whatever it is, Lord God, they can say, Jesus is my advocate. I'm covered in his robe of righteousness.
Yes.
My sins are forgiven. I have eternal life. Father, thank you. Lord, let us never fear to do what you've called us to do. Because we do know, Lord, that many whom you've called have been persecuted for doing what you've called them for. But Lord, even in that, we can glorify in Jesus. We can look up like Stephen and see him standing at the right hand of the Father. And know that if they kill us, we will be with him. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah.
And that's for emphasis. And that's the end.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Praise God. Hallelujah.